Rainmaker FM.
This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com. Welcome to The Showrunner, where we have one goal: teach you how to develop, launch, and run a remarkable show. Ready? And welcome to episode number 104 of The Showrunner. I'm your host, Jared Morris, VP of Marketing for Copyblogger and Studio Press, as well as the host of the brand new podcast called Sites, which delivers weekly tips on building better WordPress websites. You can head over there, check that out, and join me for that weekly show at sites.fm. And if you want to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, go to sites.fm/apple. And I am joined today by my trusty... Wait, no. Actually, I am not. Johnny Naster will not be here this week due to a bit of a scheduling conflict, and actually just to try out a little bit of something new. Both things kind of converged. He and I decided to record a couple of solo episodes. So I am hosting this week by myself, and Johnny will be handling next week by himself. And we'll kind of see how that goes. You can let us know how it goes. If you hate it, then let us know, and we will never do it this way again. But if you kind of like it, then maybe we'll try and do it this way again. But either way, it works for these two episodes because we had two questions scheduled that we wanted to tackle, and one just so happens to fit really well with my experience and expertise, and the other happens to fit Johnny's experience and expertise to a T, so it's all good. Now, before we jump into the question that I'm going to answer in this episode, I do want to let you know that The Showrunner is brought to you by StudioPress Sites, the complete hosted solution that makes WordPress fast, secure, and easy without sacrificing power or flexibility. To give you an example, you can upload your own WordPress theme to your StudioPress Sites sites, or you can use one of the 21 beautiful StudioPress themes that are included and just one click away. Explore all of the amazing things that you can do with a StudioPress site, and you will understand why this is way more than traditional WordPress hosting. I host my site Primility on there, which I just got back to putting new content on. So if you want to check out an example of a StudioPress site using one of the StudioPress themes, go to primility.com and you will see. And no matter how you will be using your site, I guarantee you that StudioPress Sites has a plan that will fit your needs and your budget. To learn more, go to rainmaker.fm/studiopress. That is rainmaker.fm/studiopress. And one more reminder, go to showrunner.fm because Johnny and I are going to be relaunching the Showrunner podcasting course later this fall, probably in September. And you can get on the wait list and get all the information about that by going to showrunner.fm. There's an email form right there. You can't miss it. Sign up there. You will also get updates of future episodes, our autoresponder series that asks you some tough questions that you should be asking yourself and answering, as well as our guide, our beginner's guide to launching a remarkable podcast. So a whole bunch of goodies waiting for you when you sign up at showrunner.fm. Alrighty, so a couple weeks back, we started taking questions, and we said that we were going to start creating some episodes just with the questions that you ask. And so we started that last week in episode 103, talking about what you should do with your archive. And we have another listener question today, and Johnny will be answering one next week, and we will continue on after that. But this week's question comes to us from Nance Goldstein, who is a member of the Showrunner podcasting course. And I've had the great privilege of emailing back and forth with Nance several times, talking about his show, really learning from Nance and hopefully him, you know, learning from us as we provide our advice. But it's been really interesting to see him grow as a showrunner. And he's got a show up and going. It's called Finding Me in Medicine Again. So this is really geared toward the medical community, and actually the tagline of his show is choose different, reduce stress and burnout to enjoy medicine again. So that gives you a little bit of the background and the context for Nance's question, and let's dive right into that question now. So this is the question from Nance. Hi, everyone is telling me to do live open discussions, call-ins. I can see the attraction. I'm nervous about it, though. What if I don't have something useful to say? Screwing up is pretty easy, and I don't think I have access to a technology that will work easily for this. Zoom, which has people on video that I have to manually promote to allow to talk, ... So he's saying that's a potential option. So the technology may be literally a stumbling block. Thoughts, suggestions, examples of really wonderful call-in podcasts. Most I know are radio shows where there is a staff to technically and content-wise manage them. This is just me with one Zoom-savvy engineer. So a lot to unpack here, and the reason why I wanted to take this question, Nance, is that I have experience with a call-in show. I've used the Assembly Call as an example here on the Showrunner a lot. It's the post-game show that I do for Indiana basketball games. And when that show started 6 years ago, the whole idea was to make it a call-in show. So Andy, Ryan, and I, my co-hosts, we would get on there and talk and then open it up for callers, kind of like your traditional radio post-game show. We were just going to do it on the internet. And we used Blog Talk Radio for that. And Blog Talk Radio, it allowed us to call in via our phones because none of us had fancy microphones at the time. And this was a very, very lo-fi, low-investment project when we started out. And Blog Talk Radio really worked out well for that. And I'll talk about them a little bit more here in a minute. But we did take calls. I had another guy who joined us as a producer who was able to screen calls, but he wasn't able to be there for every show. So sometimes I had to screen calls, which is pretty difficult to do. So I would definitely not recommend doing any type of live call-in show if you don't have someone there who can help you produce it, who can help you screen calls, who can help you do all of that stuff, because it's very difficult to try and host, to do a good job, to speak clearly, to make the points that you want to make, and then also try and handle the technical elements of bringing on callers. So I think your instinct that there are some potential technology stumbling blocks here and you don't just want to jump right into it, those are really on point, Nance. And so I think that is something to pay attention to. But I would say this, you know, the fact that you have someone that you describe as a Zoom-savvy engineer puts you in a position, I think, to try this. And in fact, before I get there, let me go with the very first thought that I had after reading your question, because you said that everyone is telling you to do live open discussions and call-ins. So my question here would be, by everyone, do you mean your audience or your peers? And I know there's probably some overlap there based on, you know, how your show is structured. Or is it, you know, your family, your friends, people who maybe listen to the show, but they're not necessarily the target market? Are they telling you this? And I ask because if it's the audience and if it's a preponderance of the audience, a lot of people who are telling you this, so they're giving you an indication that there is interest. And these are the people who really matter, who will be listening and making the decision to tune into these episodes or not. Then I think that's a great sign that you should do it. And I think it's important to remember that it's not like you're making the decision and you have to follow it through for a year. All you have to do is decide to try it. And to try it for one episode or three episodes or a few episodes to kind of get the hang of it and put it out there, see how the audience responds to it. But I think the fact, you know, if the people who are suggesting this to you, if they're also the people who would be listening, then I would take it very seriously. And even if it's not, even if there's just your friends and family members who are saying you should do this, it seems like you at least think that there is an inkling of a reason why this could work. And it's never a bad thing to try something new and to surprise your audience and give them something different to chew on to see if it's a taste that they like. So I definitely think that you should try this. Now, that happens to kind of be my philosophy, where I don't mind, you know, kind of jumping into something new and trying it, and I'm not afraid to then scrap it if it doesn't work. And I know that doesn't necessarily work for everybody, but I really like the idea of at least trying this. And I think if you do try it, Zoom is a really good option. You have to be comfortable doing video for that to work, because obviously Zoom is video. And whether you record this privately, with a few people, or you do it live, you know, to a live audience, which it sounds like what you want to do, that's another consideration as well. Because obviously when you're doing it live, there's kind of an extra layer of pressure, I guess, in a way. Like, yeah, man, you know, I really can't mess this up because this is live. There aren't do-overs, at least for the live audience. Now, remember, you can always, for your podcast, edit a live version down and just give people the best part. And, you know, we've had to do that before on the Assembly Call. And I know that even though we get a nice live audience, it's maybe 5% of what our podcast audience is. So remember that too from a live perspective. Sometimes we put too much pressure on ourselves thinking that so many people are watching this live and they're going to pay attention to every mistake or every gaffe. Remember that the people who will actually show up live are your most engaged audience members. These are the people who love you the most, who are interested the most in what you have to say. And those also tend to be the people that are the most forgiving. Now, it's not everybody, obviously, who's going to tune in live, but most people are that way. And so that should also give you a greater sense of comfort for that live that live recording than, you know, just feeling like it's the pressure of everybody watching and everybody's watching with a critical eye, because I don't think that is necessarily the case. Zoom also gives you the option to stream live on YouTube or Facebook if you really want to take that to the next level. But obviously, as you mentioned, you know, Zoom allows you to pull people in. You can basically, you know, give people the mic, so to speak, on Zoom and allow them to talk. And you have an engineer who will help you do this. And again, I would not recommend that you do this without the help of that engineer. But the fact that you have that leads me to believe that Zoom could be a good way to do this, because you have the video and it's very easy to then extract the audio from the video. And when you do it that way, now you have so many different places you can put this content. You've got a video that you can upload. You've got audio that you can extract. Of course, you can turn it into a transcript. You can do a lot of things with it. And so as long as you feel comfortable managing the tech part and that you trust this Zoom savvy engineer that you have, then I think you'll be able to work out those details. And I think Zoom would be a great place to start. Now, I think if you don't want to do Zoom and if you don't want to do video, then I think Blog Talk Radio is still an option to look at. And I have to say, I have been really, really impressed with their new redesign, with the options that they have, kind of the new way that they're branding themselves. And it's funny because as they went through this rebrand, they actually reached out to us at Assembly Call and tried to get us to come back, offered us, you know, some different options, a pretty interesting deal to come back. We ultimately decided that we didn't want to because video is part of what we do and we want to continue streaming on YouTube. But they definitely made me take another look because everything is much more sophisticated now than it was in the beginning. And Blog Talk Radio gives you that ability to have people call in. You can, you know, put them on live. So you would want an engineer, like I told you, when I used Blog Talk Radio before, you know, I tried doing some of it myself, and it's way too hard to try and host a show, talk, and manage guests and callers at the same time. So if your Zoom savvy engineer could transfer his skills to Blog Talk Radio, and I bet he could, because there's going to be a lot of similarities there, just obviously some specific differences in how the software works, but I'm sure he'd be able to learn Blog Talk Radio pretty quickly. That might be another option. And then you wouldn't have the video, but maybe you're more comfortable just doing the audio than the video anyway. And also it's easier to incorporate a phone if people just want to call in via phone. So I would think about Zoom. Think long and hard about Zoom, given the capabilities that you already have. But then also consider Blog Talk Radio, because I think that could be another option for you. And look, you know, the other option, Nance, is you can try not doing it live. So there is a certain type of energy to a live show and a certain type of energy to a live caller, where a caller calls in and you answer off the cuff. You know, there's something about that that is really compelling to a listener, and it makes for compelling audio. But it doesn't mean it's the only way that you need to do it. If the goal is to get some audience questions and answer them, there are a lot of ways to do that. I'm doing that right now in this episode. And you may say, okay, well, this has turned into a big, long monologue, and you're going to end up talking for 10, 15 minutes without any break. This is hard to listen to. Well, maybe. That's one downside of doing it this way. But some people also like it this way because it's really focused on one answer from someone with experience, you know, speaking passionately and with energy and, you know, with prepared notes in front of them on, you know, to give an answer. And so there are pluses and negatives, positives and minuses to all of these different methods that I'm talking about. But you could try not doing it live. And so you could accept questions like we have, you know, via email or via Twitter, however you want to do that. Or if you do want to at least have the audio of the person asking the question, SpeakPipe is an option where you can actually enable people to submit questions via audio right there on your website. And I'll have links to all these places, Blog Talk Radio, SpeakPipe. Those will be in the show notes. But what happens is, Nance, I would go to your website. I would, you know, just click a button, use my microphone. I would submit a question to you offline, and then you would get it, you know, while you're not recording. You would be able to listen to it, decide, okay, I like this question, I don't. Let me edit out this part when he mumbled. Let me edit out this part at the end where his dog barked. And then you could just, or your editor could just put that right into your template. Here's the question, and then you record the answer right after that. And so you can get, you know, 80% of the feel of a call-in show without the live stress. And for some folks, that is a good compromise, and that may be something that works well for you. So that is SpeakPipe. So again, I think Zoom is a great option for you given the technology capacity that you have right now with your engineer. If you don't want to do video, but you still want to do the live call-in show, then I would recommend Blog Talk Radio. And then if you don't want to do that, if you don't want to actually do it live, then consider just doing a call for questions and accepting questions, and you can read the question like I did, or use SpeakPipe and allow people to submit questions to you, and then you can run the audio right there as if they were live with you. So I think that, you know, those options pretty much run the gamut of all the different ways that you could do this. And I'm, you know, just pick one and go with it. Doesn't necessarily have to be your final answer, because you can try out several different ones and see which ones work the best. Now, you talked about how some of the call-in shows that you have listened to are just radio shows where there's a staff to technically and content-wise manage them. And you're right. I think it's going to be very hard to do any type of call-in show without a staff. So that's just, you know, I think that's kind of a barrier to entry of doing a live call-in show and doing it well, is you need to do that. You know, in terms of good call-in shows that I listen to, I went through my feed, and there actually aren't a ton that I listen to where there are, you know, call-in shows where they're actually live callers. But that doesn't mean that I wouldn't or that they aren't worthwhile. I think they can work really well for certain topics. They just don't happen to be in my rotation now, and I had some before, but I tend to prune my podcast rotation pretty regularly, and stuff goes out and then comes back in. But right now there were a couple that I think serve as good examples. One is a show called Think, and it is actually a local public broadcasting radio station here in Dallas on KERA. Fantastic show. We actually had the host of Think, Chris Boyd, on a previous episode of The Showrunner, and she gets great guests, asks great questions, and even though it's a Dallas-based show, you wouldn't really know it. I mean, 98% of the episodes are applicable to anybody. They're not Dallas-centric. So I highly recommend that you subscribe to the show, both to learn how to interview, to pretty much be guaranteed every weekday that you're going to have two really interesting 45-minute podcast episodes to listen to if you choose to, and Nance, specifically for you and anyone else who has a similar question to Nance, Chris takes live callers during the show. And again, it's a radio station, so they've got producers there, all of that, but it does, there's that certain energy to it. And I was just listening to an episode yesterday, you know, where a caller called in, really brought up a great point that propelled the conversation in a different direction. And obviously Chris and the guest weren't prepared for that, but it really added something to the show. And I think when call-in shows are done well, that's what happens, is you get good callers and they really add a nice point and they take the conversation in an even better direction than it would have gone. The risk, of course, is that callers can totally throw you off the rails. And if there are technical issues, you know, that can sound bad. And then you've got the awkward moment of, when do I cut them off? When do I let them, you know, keep listening? So again, you have to take the good with the bad. I think if you just listen to Think, and, you know, and maybe just for a month, you know, try and listen to a couple episodes a week, you'll hear some of the good, you'll hear some of the bad, you'll hear how Chris handles it as a professional. And so that's a good show that I think you can listen to. And another show that I think does listener questions really well is The Art of Charm. It's one of the, you know, that podcast has been around for a while. It's one of the most popular shows. It's just, from a production standpoint, it's really well done. And I'm a big fan of what Jordan and their team does over at The Art of Charm. But every Friday, they do Fan Mail Friday. And so Jordan and his producer, Jason, are there. Jason reads the questions. Jordan answers them. I like that format because I don't know if you noticed earlier, but it's a little bit awkward when I'm reading the question and I'm answering it. You don't quite know when it's me talking, when it's the question. And so if you have someone else there who can read the question, even if it's not the person, I think that helps the listener just stay properly oriented. And The Art of Charm does that well. And they take about 5 or 6 questions. Jordan gives good answers. Obviously, they're able to prepare what they want to say, as I have done here for this show today. And so I think that really helps and that really comes through. So that's another way. And they could very easily, if they wanted to, you know, add SpeakPipe and allow the person asking the question to read the question. Here's the one thing about that, though. When you just read the person's question, you know, you can edit it down some. And because people can tend to ramble sometimes with their questions. I did not with Nance's question. I thought Nance's question, for the most part, got right to the point. But people can tend to ramble sometimes if they're speaking their question. So if you're going to use SpeakPipe, then you might actually have to edit their audio down, and then that can be kind of difficult. You know, if someone sends in a question, you can rewrite it a little bit if you need to, just to make it quicker, to make it clearer, and to make that a better experience for the audience. And so I think The Art of Charm really does that well. So those are two shows I would recommend, Think and The Art of Charm. But overall, Nance, I love that you asked this question. I think it is phenomenal that you are thinking outside the box in this way. It has been really, really rewarding watching how far you have come as a showrunner. You know, seeing some of the trepidation that you had, especially in the beginning, and to be able to overcome that and persevere and get the show going and to see the progress that you're making, it's fantastic. And I think to now be to the point where you're thinking like this, these creative ideas, doing something new, it's great. And it shows that the audience members who are listening to you are in great hands and that you are definitely committed to creating a remarkable audio experience, which is what every showrunner should be committed to doing. So I hope that this episode has helped to answer your questions. Nance, if you have any follow-up questions, you know how to email me. Please do. And anyone else listening, if you have follow-up questions, send me a tweet at Jared Morris, JerodMorris. I know there was a little bit of a time there where I wasn't as active on Twitter, but I'm getting back to being more active there. So reach out there if you have any follow-up questions about this or anything else, and I will be happy to answer them. All right. Well, as I mentioned before, we are planning to relaunch The Showrunner. So get on the wait list and you can get our free report, The Beginner's Guide to Launching a Remarkable Podcast, a simple no-frills 9-step plan to getting your podcast off the ground. That is at showrunner.fm. And you will also get the autoresponder series, which forces you to face up to a few questions that I think all showrunners need to answer. So that's another good reason to get that and then to get information about when we launch. All right, everybody. Hope you enjoyed this this little change up here. This was all me. Next week, it'll be all Johnny. I hope you enjoy that well. If you didn't enjoy it for whatever reason, let me know. But yeah, take this information, do something good with it, and go out there and keep creating remarkable audio experiences for your audience. We'll talk again. I'll talk with you again in 2 weeks. John will be back to take good care of you next week. Take care.